This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Amber Walsh. Amber's one of our most listened to guests on the Private Equity Podcast. She's one of the pioneers at the intersection of healthcare and private equity dating back 15, 20 years before that was a thing, and just a brilliant leader. We're going to talk to Amber today about a few of the trends she's watching, what she's seeing, and what she's most focused on. Amber, take a moment and tell us what you're sort of looking at today, what are the trends you're watching, and more.
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things that I really am fascinated by is how investors on the one hand and sellers on the other hand go through the evaluative process of picking a partner and the conversations that are had and some of the key focus points that you see both investors and sellers talking about during the sales cycle of what they're looking for in a partner. And it's been years since the sophisticated investors were really just looking for big EBITDA that they could grow through scaling and increasing revenue and running a lean operation. It's been years since that's been the focal point. All investors have been looking for other unique features of the acquisition targets that they're looking at. And this is particularly in healthcare private equity, but I think that's probably across the board in private equity. So it fascinates me that we've moved in 2021 in particular from, yes, at the end of last year and coming into this year, there was a lot of focus during the sales cycle on telehealth capabilities, your resilience, your planning for the next pandemic, that sort of thing. But one of the key things that's really, I think, emerged this year and is here to stay for a while is a pretty dramatic and across-the-board emphasis by investors and by sellers on value-based care and how the investor can play a role in helping the seller prepare for value-based care if they're not already deeply, deeply into value-based care, or maybe it's a solution provider for value-based care, but it seems like such a big part of the conversation right now in every single deal, in every single SIM that's out on the market, it's a big piece of the conversation.
And part of that is there's this love of private equity and business of consistency of earnings. And so much of the value-based care models promise sort of subscription models versus fee-for-service models. So there's just a real embrace of those kinds of models. And it seems like everybody's trying to build a mix of a subscription model / value-based care model that leads to consistency of earnings that then a private equity fund can capitalize on and sell a few years later, because they'll command higher multiples because it's got consistency. What's your sense of how much of that is out there as well? Because you're right. I had a breakfast this morning with a brilliant investor, and all they're looking at is value-based models, quote unquote value-based models, whether like the Oak Street model or other kinds of models like that, but things that are value-based and drive repeatable earnings.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, everyone knows that there is a dramatic range of subsectors within healthcare that are fully down the road of value-based care, those that are super, super expensive specialties or procedures or diagnostics that are still far from being fully into value-based care. But I do think there is a universal belief within the investor community and certainly within the healthcare provider community that value-based care is where everyone is going. And it's just how fast are you going to get there and what it's going to look like? Are you going to be on the front of it? Are you going to kind of wait and see? Are you going to invest in your own solution provider? Where are you going to fit in? Are you going to build your own model with a payer? Are you going to participate in a Medicare CMMI pilot program if that's available to your specialty? Now, there's the range of advancement of thinking is pretty broad, but I haven't seen a deal get done or come to the market that hasn't invoked these conversations of, okay, I'm a seller. What are you going to do, investor, to help us get there? Because this is where my subset of the healthcare community sits in value-based care. How are you going to help me get there? Maybe it's the subscription service, do more of a kind of a concierge approach. Maybe it's joining, forming your own Medicare or commercial ACO. There's so many different ways to do value-based care and structure those partnerships. It's a really, really broad term, but it's absolutely part of the conversation in a way that I don't feel like it was even a year ago, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yes, and at the same time that you see all this interest in value-based investments or things that have a value-based theme, there's also still a proliferation of investments in practices and practice platforms, whether value-based in reality or not. And so how do you sort of look at some of that? Because that's still a very busy market, isn't it, the investment in physician practices?
Absolutely. And still, you know, the value-based care market, while it's part of the conversation, it's going to be a long time coming. I mean, there are some investors that are out on the forefront of it. There are some particular practice management companies that are way out on the forefront and kind of built these value-based care models, even within the practice side. So Hopco and Orthopedics and everything they bring together in their care models is inclusive of the orthopedic practice services as well. So they're kind of out in front of it. Audex has taken that as one of the investors in Hopco. Linden and Fraser also have been in Hopco, but taken that thinking and learned how to mold that into other physician specialties. But you're right. It's the vast majority, and I don't know the statistics across the board on all specialties, but the vast majority is still dominantly fee-for-service. It's just a recognition that as you're looking at an investment or as you are a seller and you're considering a potential partner in your investor or bringing in a hospital investor into your practice services, MSO, whatever you are considering, that it needs to have some conversation around how you are going to, when you are going to move from dominantly fee-for-service to wherever it is that you see your particular business going in more of a value-based care model.
No, fascinating. And a lot of these specialty practices, I think, could live without value-based for the rest of their lives if they can get away with it, but not sure they can, but a fascinating perspective. And then, Amber, you are so insanely busy in representing private equity funds in deal flow right now. What are you most focused on the next 12 months? Is that going to be it, just all these this insane amount of private equity deals? Or what do you see as being your focus in the next 12 months or so?
Yeah, right now it feels like how could you focus on anything other than the deal volume? But, of course, a continued focus on team retention, ongoing recruiting efforts. It's just super critical. We never stop focusing on recruitment and retention of a team. So that will continue to be the case. I'm also really focused on getting back in person in front of some clients and potential clients and really important parts of the healthcare private equity deal making network. We're starting to get a lot of, hey, come to New York, we're open. Remember how you used to come to New York and visit? We're getting a lot of that now. Same in deal making. In the early days of the process, definitely seeing management presentations being more in person, kind of getting back to that. And even with what the trends going around the country right now with some spikes in certain states and the Delta variant, you have people who really want to consider if you can get back in person a little bit more. So it's a tricky thing to balance that. And certainly I understand that there's still a lot of trepidation and there's no one right way to do this. But for me, I'm excited to start to in the right circumstances and with people who are comfortable doing so, I'm ready to see some folks in person again.
No, it seems like people are moving in that direction, and people are excited to do so. And there's just an interplay of discussion that's almost irreplaceable. That's hard to do if you're not in person, at least for some of it. And there's a connectivity and so forth. So just a pleasure to see that, and I appreciate you pointing that out, because it really is a big part of the connectivity of people is actually getting a chance to visit them in person and talk, and just opens up different avenues of discussion and so forth. So. Thank you. Amber Walsh, always great to speak to you. One of the true leaders in the healthcare private equity world, just fantastic partner and leader at McGuire Woods. Just magnificent. Thank you, Amber, for joining us today.
Thank you.